El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here, where we had a bit of a technical emergency here just moments ago. We were, we lost our video cast, but I think we've got it back now, although it's a little bit of a jumpy picture. That's just the way it is, man. The picture tonight is kind of like my life. It's kind of like my my nervous constitution. It's just jumpy. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Despite some of the technical issues that do, from time to time, present themselves on our radio show, we invite you to get a backstage pass because, hey, it's live, baby. And, you know, we usually work these things out.
Yeah, pretty soon as you wake somebody up.
Yeah, as soon as I wake somebody up. See, because one of the things about doing a show at night, and I don't blame people for sleeping because that's what normal human beings do. You and I, those of us who are awake right now, we work on a weird clock. We are part of life's weird people. We're a part of the weird segment of the human race. We're not normal. Most people work in the day, but you and I that do the third shift, we work at night. We like to think of ourselves as people that keep the world turning, and it gives us a bit of a feeling of pride. There's nothing wrong with that, but the fact is, we're oddballs. So that when something happens that necessitates we pick up a phone and we call somebody and say, hey, something happened, we need some help, everybody's asleep. And so it was tonight, until such time as I myself got into the guts of the problem and I was able to figure it out.
All you did was restart the computer.
That's it. All I did was restart the computer. You're right. Although you don't have to tell people that. And so all's well that ends well. Now, right now, I'm trying to find a password to get my ass back into the administrative aspect of this. We'll work this thing out. Don't worry about it, folks. Anyway, thank you and welcome to the program, 877-876-HILL. But the point that I was trying to make is, in the midst of all of this, don't you ever forget to get yourself a backstage pass and be a part of all of the fun, the frivolity, all the action, all of the all the rock and roll here at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And you also get, of course, access to thousands of hours of archive material. I'm telling you, it's quite a treasure trove once you get into the archives, which, by the way, our entire archive, going back over a decade, will be complete. We've got like 2 months left from the year 2001. That's going to be done. And another nice piece of information for those of you out there that are considering a BSP, within the month or 2 months, we will have on-demand available for you who use Apple, iPad, iPhone. We will be friendly to you. Our media will be able to be viewed on Apple products. So we're making our on-demand media available not only on the droids, the mobile droids, but also whatever that phone may be, but also the iPhone. So we're kind of proud of that. 877-876-PHIL, David G. Hall, I know. And I understand what the problem is here, David. I'm sorry for putting you on hold. But as I understand it, there was a phone call that you took.
Well, yeah, there's a phone call that I took. That's a great way of putting it, Phil, and I'm sorry to interrupt your program.
This has become a regular thing, though.
Well, I don't mean it to be a regular thing. And I think that's to assault me with that phrase.
I'm not assaulting you, but it's true. It's a regular thing. You calling me up as I start the show.
Well, Phil, why don't I let the audience decide something then, okay?
Well, the audience decides things all the time every time you call.
All right, well, I'm calling now. First of all, I'd like your audience to know, didn't you tell me that I could call if I had input on the show?
I told you once about 2 years ago that I would welcome you. And I can't hear myself think you got a TV.
Turn it down, will you? I'm on the radio. Turn it down. Turn it down. Will you get the kid to turn that down? I'm sorry. We're doing a charity event at the house tonight, and I decided to come into my office. I let one of the kids use the TV set here.
All right. I'm sorry to interrupt. Well, I'm not interrupting it. You called me.
Well, I did call you, Phil. It's a charity event for kids that are under... I guess I got to ask Bernie because he knows, but I think they're children that are developmentally challenged. And so one of the kids is in here watching TV. You need to turn it down, honey. So here's the thing, Phil. You said to me that I could call your show and that I could talk to you and I could give you input on your show, didn't you?
Yes.
All right, well, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, you're right. I suppose I needed to have a proviso in there to say, not every night.
I don't call you every night.
You're here on this show just about every other night now with some new problem.
You know, you're really coming off like some kind of an asshat. Just talking to me like that.
Well, I mean, the fact is, I'm about ready to start a show, and here you are.
Okay, well, let me tell you, it's a sponsor of yours, Mr. Bell. You want him to come on the line? Because he can talk to you if you want.
And what's his problem?
What's his problem? You know what? I tell you what, Phil, I don't want it to be seen that I am a mean guy and that I'm intruding and that I'm wrecking your show and all these other things.
No, go ahead. Tell me what his problem is.
No, I will be on the line here, and I don't mind being on the line. Get Mr. Bell up on line 3, if you wouldn't mind. Dickman, is Dickman there?
Yeah, right here.
Can you call him up?
Is he expecting a call?
Yes, he's expecting a call because he's in his office right now. And to be perfectly honest with you, he's pissed off. So here he is.
All right. Now I know what this is about. All right.
You know what it's about. You know what it's about. That's great.
Ted Bell here. Well, who do we have?
Yeah, it's Phil Henry, Ted.
All right, listen to me. Is Hall there?
I'm right here, Mr. Bell.
All right, I want you to stay on the line, Hall. I want you to listen to me, Henry. I know that I was told by Dickman that we are on the air. Is that correct?
Yes, we are.
All right, well, I apologize to your listeners, but I got to start off. I want to tell you something right now. My name is Ted Bell. I built a reputation for myself in this city with a stakeout. Is Hall there? I'm right here. All right, because I don't hear. I can hear. Is that you breathing?
I don't know.
All right. Shut that door. Thank you. Here's what I wanted to say to you, Phil, and it is something that I don't think I say it enough. My name is Ted Bell. What is that?
What is what?
I'm hearing something else. Sorry, I gotta get. Turn the TV down, honey. What is that?
It's a young person, I guess, at David's house. He's having a function for some sort of a charity.
I've got some children in the house here, Ted, who are developmentally challenged.
What's that got to do with the TV?
It's the kids watching it.
I wonder if you might tell them to turn it down.
I did. Would you turn it down?
Oh, baby. Talk about developmental. Well, I shouldn't be angry because I can tell you that I'm dealing with a developmentally challenged radio host.
Excuse me, Ted, but would you mind telling me what this is about?
Who just said that? That's Henry. Henry, you're the guy that I called up to talk to.
Yeah, tell me what it's all about.
I'm telling you what it's about. My name is Ted Bell, all right? Let's get that out of the way. Let's get out of the way right now what my name is. What is it? It's Ted Bell. I'm hearing that TV, and I'm going to come over to your house, David.
Hold on. Honey, turn the TV down. Hey, Benny, would you get... Benny! Turn the TV down. Get the kid. Take him outside. Let him play with that balloon or whatever that... Not the balloon, not plastic. Like that, Benny was going to have him play with plastic, like a plastic bag.
That's really funny. These are children that are developmentally challenged. And
Hey, Henry, don't get on your high horse, because I'm talking to you right now. Do you understand?
Yeah, I understand that, but I just heard him say, have the kid play with a plastic bag.
Why do you care? He's all right, believe me. Go ahead. Oh, this is Investigation Discovery. You
turn the TV off for 5 seconds, please.
I turned it down.
All right. Now, my name is Ted Bell. Ted Bell. B-E-L-L. All right?
It's Bell.
What's that?
That's how you spell Bell.
Yeah.
And Ted is T-E-D.
And who is speaking? Is that Dickman?
No, that's David Hall.
Hall? What happened to you all of a sudden, man? You want to go in for a CAT scan or something, man, to make sure there isn't anything pressing on the cerebral cortex. Because the stuff that you're laying on me...
Okay, let's forget about that, and would you mind telling me what's going on?
Here, let me tell you what's going on. Go to your website.
You want me to go to my website?
Go to your website, yeah.
I apologize, ladies and gentlemen.
No, don't apologize to anybody. My name is Ted Bell. I am a sponsor. I'm a sponsor, yes. I am absolutely flabbergasted. That's why I'm having a hard time talking. The things that I'm hearing country music or something. Ted, the kids are coming in here. They want to use the radio. They're using them. What do you got going on over there anyway?
He's got some children there who are developmentally challenged. Why are they in the office?
Because they're bored. They want to try out all the gadgets we got around here. They were in the living room. There was a clown there. They had birthday cake and all the stuff that a kid would want. I had a clown. I had cake. I had ice cream. I did everything that I could do. Everything. We tried to do everything that we could, but there was nothing that we could do. All right?
And what is this? Goodfellas? I'm asking you what the kid is doing in your office.
That's my business. Don't ask me about that. They're having a charity function. The kids are watching TV.
Every time I'm trying to say something, I'm listening to a television set. I'm listening to... You hear that?
It is pretty loud, David.
What?
It's loud! Turn it down!
Sorry.
All right. Have you gone to your website?
Yes, I'm on my website.
All right. What is that a picture of?
It's a picture of a dead man.
Yeah, it's a picture of a dead man, yes. And what is it underneath?
It's underneath a header that says to this effect, you know, vote for your favorite Ted Bell bit.
Vote for your favorite Ted Bell bit. And it talks about the best Ted Bell bits of all time. And then underneath that, you have a picture of a man laying dead in the street after being gunned down. And underneath that, great steakhouse moments. You know, by all rights, I should pull every ounce of advertising from your show. I should eliminate the segment that I do on your show. Great. Who said that?
David.
I said great. I was being sarcastic. I should eliminate my segment from your show. You've got a man having been shot to death in front of a steak. What steakhouse are you talking about?
That's Spark Steakhouse.
All right. And that was the Paul Castellano. That was a mafia?
It was a mafia. It was a famous shooting of a mafia don, a mafia boss, in front of the Spark Steakhouse. It was bad taste. I apologize.
Bad taste? Bad taste? It doesn't even matter if you take it down now. He's going to ask you to take it down.
We'll take it down immediately.
No, it doesn't make any difference now. The damage is done. The damage is done. I've been talking to people for the last half hour about this. Anybody that'll listen to me. Yeah, I mean, just as a point.
I got to take a break, too, guys.
Oh, boy, here he goes with that. You got to take a break now, huh?
I got to take a break. I apologize, but I have to. Put him on hold.
Boy, they're going to be pissed off.
I don't care. I got to go. I got to take a break. I'm running late these days, like I did last night. Sorry, Dan. We'll be right back, folks. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We've got David Hall and Ted Bell on the line. Our website right now, we finally got our video back up and running, but we do have a photograph of the... Perhaps you ought to take that picture down. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil, 877-876-7445. Again, our apologies. The video cast was down. It is up. It is running. In fact, we got it back up and running in time for the show, and it might have been a very, very simple thing, but we just sort of asleep at the switch tonight a little bit, and we apologize to those of you who are BSPs watching that. Our number is 877-876-Phil, 877-876-7445. On the line with me is Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and I know that he is... we're talking about an issue having to do with the homepage of my website. We've got a picture on there. If you just mind, let me explain this, guys.
You know, and you took a break, Phil, in the middle of Mr. Bell making a point.
Exactly.
I understand, but I've got to take the break because I was late.
I know that. I just asked you to watch that because the next time you say, I got to take a break, and you're looking at the clan, somebody's saying something, you know, you're running the risk of making an advertiser angry.
And what about the other advertisers? And what about my listeners who are going to be penalized if I don't take the break then? I'm going to take it later, and then they're only going to get like a 3-minute segment.
Well, Phil, I know that listeners are important to you. They're important to me. But I'm not going to let you power play me. I've got a point that I'm trying to make here.
What do you mean a power play?
You're bringing up your listeners as if that's going to cause me to say, oh, well, Phil, I appreciate my customers. I'm sure you appreciate your customers, your listeners. The consumer is extremely important. The consumer is not all there is. I think we have had an overemphasis on consumers. And what I'm trying to say to you is that there are others. There is the producer. Oh, how about that, huh?
Well,
hold on. I'm not finished yet. Mr. Bell's not finished. Now, in this day and age, we've had a huge emphasis on the consumer, and I think that that's fine. But when you emphasize the consumer at the expense of the producer, at the expense of that individual who is creating the product that the consumer wants, to wit, my steakhouse, your radio show, then you're making a mistake. Now, earlier this evening, I should say, I went onto the website, onto the Phil Hendry Show website, because I wanted to take a look at some. I don't know what I was. I think I wanted to check out to see what you guys were going to do with the best the Beverly Hills. Well, yeah, but what are you calling this best bit contest?
Well, it's not really a contest. Our backstage pass members are the people that are going to submit their ideas for the best Ted Bell bits.
All right, okay. So I wanted to take a look at that. And what is that? Is that called something like the Beverly, the best, the bit? It's called, what is it called, Phil?
It's not called anything. It's just vote for, call, you know, give us a...
call or write?
You do it on email.
All right, so you write.
Yeah, you write in if you're a backstage pass member.
What is this backstage pass anyway? What is that? That's the subscription. Yeah, I understand that's the subscription, but why do you call it the backstage pass?
Because that's what we've called it for years.
Well, I think if I may just give you an idea, I don't want to tell you your business, Phil.
Well, that's what you've been doing here, you know.
No, excuse me? No, I have not. Phil, all he's trying to say...
Hold on for a minute. Let me talk to him. That's what you've been doing. You've been telling me my business.
Hey, pal, you're telling me my business.
How am I telling you your business?
You got a dead man out in front of my place. Not my place.
That's not your place. That's Spark Steakhouse.
But you're saying... Ted's a Beverly Hills Steakhouse, and oh yeah, look at this, a dead man. What do you think I'm running here, Henry? Do you think it's some kind of a haunted mansion or something? Do you think I'm running some nightclub or some Hollywood death tour? It's a steakhouse. A steakhouse. And when you have a picture of a man laying flat on his back, having taken a bullet between the eyes, and you say, oh, look at this, a steakhouse moment. You're wrecking my business. You're ruining my reputation. And I've got a sterling silver reputation in this business. And I call you up to talk to you, Mr. This gentleman here, Mr. Hall, has a kid in the room who has a mental deficiency with a TV turned up too loud. You're telling me about your consumers. All of these things are important. But I got my reputation starting with one thing. Starting with emphasizing to everybody that ever did business with me, I'm Ted Bell. That's the first thing you know. We get that out of the way.
Well, what does that mean?
What it means is, when I say I'm Ted Bell, I let you know what I expect. Exactly. And when I say I'm Ted Bell, you see that guy that's laying dead in the street on the webpage?
Yeah.
In many ways, that's how I've left people who have not done a good job. Now, I don't kill people as they do in the mafia, but careers, in the figurative sense, I've left people just like that guy, laying flat on their flat on their backs. Yeah, but I was going to say flat on their bladder, and I don't. Does that mean something? No. What was I going to say?
You misspoke.
All right. I thought maybe I. But that is figuratively. I have left people flat on their backs with blood coming out of their nose who messed with me. Okay? Am I coming through?
Yes, sir.
All right. So you put that picture there, and that wrecked my reputation with a lot of people. A lot of people here in the restaurant, and a lot. I'm hearing that TV again. Is that kid that's mentally retarded? Kimmy, turn the TV down, honey.
You know, you talk about your reputation, Ted, and you're talking about mentally retarded kids like they're.
Like they're what?
Well, they're not as important as what you got to say.
I've got something to say. I'm not saying they're not important. I'm saying get the kid out of there.
Hold on. 877.
Telling me to hang on.
Yes, I am. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell and David G. Hall on this picture that we had on our homepage of the assassination of Paul Castellano. It was a mafia figure, and we had it there in relation to a Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse promotion. We'll be right back to Phil Henry Show. Doing now.
Going to a commercial. A what? Going to a commercial. Yeah, but when do I get to talk?
Phil Henry. Show.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And we got David G. Hall and Ted Bell on the line.
What are you doing, anyway?
Just screwing around. We're just having some fun.
You're playing games on the telephone, and I'd like you to listen to what Mr. Bell is saying.
Just some people, friends of mine.
Well, you know, I'm a friend of yours, too. All right? And when you put the picture of Mr. Bellotti on the website, the guy that got shot, that guy that... Would you turn that thing down? I've got some people here. I know you've got people there, but I can't hear. You know, Phil, David, I'm a sponsor.
Hold on for a minute, Ted. He has a charity event going on at his house where there are children, disadvantaged kids.
Well, he's talking about he's got some kids at his house who are mentally affected somehow, and I'm sorry about that. I think I've made myself clear on that, that I have a reputation. I don't have anything against kids that are developmentally disabled. I don't have anything against any child that is, unfortunately, has cancer or some of these things that make a child, you've seen, as I'm sure Mr. Hall has seen, what a chemotherapy does. It causes the hair to fall out. Now, with a little child, you can get a kid who, with no hair, people I think are used to seeing an adult with no hair, but not a kid with no hair. Now, you take that same child and you put him into, yes, a $10,000 a game floor seat at a Laker game. Now, people begin to associate that look with me. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, so what has that got to do with you?
Here's what it has to do with you, Hall, and the children there at the house with the radio turned up. Now everyone hears Ted Bell talking, and they also hear a radio turned up really loud. And what's the association that people make? That they think you're hanging out with these kids? Exactly. They think I'm hanging out again with these kids.
And what's the problem with that?
The problem with that, as I explained to you before, Phil...
All right, explain it again, because it's been a long time.
The problem with that, as I explained before, is that my name is Ted Bell. I've got a lot of people coming into my restaurant that are affiliated with the entertainment business, with a lot of businesses where there is a certain cachet, a certain look. There's an image thing, all right? If people are listening to my radio, listening to your radio show, or they're looking at me on the Jumbotron at the Laker game, and all they see is a kid with a bald head too big for his torso, I don't know.
What do you mean a bald head too big for the torso?
Whatever, it's out of whack. Is that what you're saying? I think, it looks out of whack.
What is that supposed to mean, okay? I mean, all right, it's starting to bother me.
Get the kid to turn that down, will you? Hey, turn the TV down, Timmy. Turn it down.
Okay, now I can hear.
All right. What does it mean? It means that if someone looks on the Jumbotron and they see a kid's head that's bigger than mine, what do you think that means?
I don't know what that means. What are you talking about, a kid's head?
The perception, Phil, if a kid's got a bald head. It looks bigger than a normal adult head.
877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
What are you doing now? Giving out a phone number.
I'm giving my phone number out. Do you mind?
Yeah, I mind. Does that mean you're taking phone calls?
Yes, that means we're taking phone calls.
I'm not talking to any of your listeners. I'm talking to you. All right, I understand what he's saying.
Well, I've got a member of the media calling in, okay? And you know who this is as well. This is the guy from Enter Magazine, isn't it? Or Inter Magazine.
I don't know who that is.
This is the German guy, right?
Yeah, it's Scholler.
It's Mr. Scholler?
I don't know who the guy is.
Well, let me talk to him. All right. Hey, man, how are you doing?
Hi, Phil. I'm good. I wanted to speak to your boss there to see what his problem is, you know.
Hey, I don't have a problem, Phil. What is your name?
My name is Carl Scholler. And I'm with Inter Magazine in Germany. And I wanted to ask you what is the problem here tonight.
This is David G. Hall, sir. Have we met?
I know Phil, but I don't know either one of these gentlemen.
Okay, Ted Bell is a steakhouse owner. Have you ever heard him or know him?
I'm afraid I've not had the pleasure.
Well, you're German, right?
Yes, I am.
All right, well, have you been to any of the steakhouses here in town?
Yes, I have. I've been to Morton's.
You go to Morton's, those places. Go ahead, go to Morton's. Do yourself a favor, go to Morton's, go to Ruth's Chris, go to all of them, and then come and experience the Ted Bell difference. Okay, that's a great idea. That advertising slogan that we're using that as well as we want to put our meat in your mouth.
Okay, this is the guy with the meat in the mouth, huh?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, the advertising slogans, I remember that, but what
does that mean? He's the guy with the meat in his mouth.
That's the people know your restaurant by that slogan that you like so much.
Well, wait a minute. That's not how you're supposed to remember it. It means that we've got great steak that we want to serve you.
Right, I know, but listening to, you don't think that there's a bit of a double entendre that some people are going to read into that?
I don't think that anybody with a healthy mind, I think a healthy human being who has a Christian or Judeo-Christian background, whose mother and father didn't molest them, no, I don't think it's double entendre at all.
Ted, I think you're a little overboard there. There is a little bit of a double-edged sword there. People do laugh when they hear that, don't they?
Well, if they do, they don't do it to my face.
Okay, well, look at Ted. Let me ask you some questions about tonight. You said that you saw something on the homepage that bothered you.
Yes, I did.
What was that?
It was on the Phil Henry homepage. If you go and you look, there's a dead man laying on the homepage. That is a very famous mafia hit. Mr. Henry used that photograph to promote some sort of an effort that he is engaged in getting the best appearances of Ted Bell, that's me, on his show.
Okay, but what is wrong with that?
What is wrong with that? Do you know what I do for a living, right?
Yeah. You're the steakhouse.
Well, bingo, give the man a cigar, huh? Hey, yeah.
Why is this sarcasm? I don't understand it.
You don't understand.
I think I do understand that you're worried about...
He's worried that the steakhouse on the homepage makes his steakhouse look like it's where mafia guys go.
Well, not only that, but it's a murder. It's a murder, and I have a steakhouse where I want normal human beings. I just got done telling you.
But you don't think that Phil was being humorous?
Well, he might have thought it was just the funniest thing that's ever been done in the history of the world. I don't think it's funny. It's my business. Yeah, that's what we're saying here, Mr. Taylor. We're saying that Phil, in a great steakhouse moment, he could have had a great steakhouse moment would be what? Maybe a man and a woman sitting at a beautiful table, maybe at Ted's, and they're lifting a glass of wine.
We want to push the steak.
All right, well, they're lifting a slice of meat to their lips, and that's
what I mean. You guys have got a problem there.
What have we got a problem with?
You want to tell him, Phil, or you want me to?
Well, I haven't had any success.
Oh, you have a picture of a guy lifting meat to his lips. See?
Why does that have to mean penis?
Okay, come on, will you? We're on the air.
Well, Phil, it's a good question.
Look, at you guys are the ones that decided to go out and get an advertising slogan that was, we want to put our meat in your mouth. Isn't that what it was?
I didn't do anything of the sort. This is Ted Bell you're talking about. I did. That's right.
Okay. And you're not aware of the fact that there's going to be jokes?
I'm not talking about meat in the mouth or any of that stuff. I'm talking about the picture of a guy laying flat on his back having just got plugged in a mafia hit. And you guys are using that to promote my name, Ted Bell, because I am Ted Bell. Don't even worry about it. Don't worry about who I am. I'm Ted Bell. Right, Mr. Heller?
That's right. You're Ted Bell.
There's no doubt about that. You know, I got to tell you something. My father was in the Third Army, okay? Do I need to say anything else?
You know something, Mr. Bell, I'm not here to relive your father's great Nazi fighting.
There you go. That's exactly what it was, Nazi fighting.
Okay. I'm not a Nazi. I'm a German. I'm a modern German, a member of the modern German society. We're not Nazis, you know.
That's totally uncalled for, Ted.
What are you talking about?
Oh, my father was in the Third Army. This man is like he said, he's a modern man. He's not a Nazi. Let's keep it on the right track here, okay?
I'm just telling you, you know, I just want you to know what my pedigree is.
Right, okay, I've got your pedigree. But mostly what I'm trying to say,
it's very uncharacteristic for some German to give me crap. I'm telling you that...
Can we stick to the point?
Well, we are sticking to the point, and that is I've got a steakhouse,
and the slogan is we want to put a meat in your mouth.
No, it is not we want to put a meat in your mouth. I forget what it is now. I think it's we want to put the meat in your mouth. No, it is not.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
No, it is not. Terry, get the menu, please. Get the menu. Don't look at me. Don't stand there. Get the menu.
All right, sir.
And I'll tell you what it is.
Ted, I'm telling you I know what it is because I just... Do you want me to play the jingle?
No, I don't want you to play the jingle. Get the menu. We want to put our meat in your mouth?
No, it's we want to put our, as in Ted Bell's...
Where's the meat? Here it is, right here. We want to put our meat in your mouth. You were right, Bill. All right. You know what? I can't believe that. Why would we say our meat? Why would that be...
Because of the restaurant, because of what you do.
Mr. Bell, this is Sean Heller, sir. Can I speak to you for a minute? Yeah, you've been talking to me ever since you came on.
Okay. I just want to say... I don't know anything about your steakhouse. I would love to come and try your steak. I would like to eat your steak. But I say that having seen this on the homepage, the picture of the man has been shut down. See? So it's not done anything to ruin my perception of your steakhouse. For me, it's okay, you know.
See?
Well, again, we're talking about, a guy... Yeah, I just, you're German.
I know I'm German.
Oh, get off the kick, okay? So we've solved that problem, and I don't think you have to worry about it. You spent 45 minutes, though, advertising how angry you were over this picture. And you want to know something? All the comments that I have under that picture have nothing to do with your steakhouse. They have to do with the fact that our video feed was down.
Oh, well, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that the popular Phil Hendry's fans were weighing in. I didn't know that. If I knew that, I wouldn't have taken up your time, Mr. Hendry, talking about my business that's only been around since 1976.
I've been in radio since 1973.
I don't care. I'm a sponsor on your show. Are you putting money in my pocket?
Yeah, I am, every time I send a customer there.
He's giving me too much crap. Quit giving him crap. Let him win the argument.
All right, we're going to take a break, all right, so I can get ready to let him win the argument.
Oh, I should have already won the
877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. Lots of other news, including the Sandusky thing is beginning to heat up, and oh, God, is it sick. And the other comment made by President Obama to the effect that the American people aren't even really paying that much attention to the presidential race. Is that true? Is it false? We'll be talking about that later on as well here on The Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Right down, honey.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, and welcome back here on the line. And thanks a lot. Shoal Heller was with us talking to Ted Bell and to David G. Hall about this picture, which has nothing whatsoever to do with anything. If you don't want me to take it down, I won't take it down. But if you don't want me to take it down, I can't imagine that you think it's all that important, Ted.
Well, I do think it's important, but what was more important was me coming on your program and letting you know the lay of the land and letting people know the lay of the land. But when I look at your homepage and I see a dead man in front of Spark Steakhouse, and you're saying this is a Ted Bell promotion, people start thinking about my steakhouse being a place where people get gunned down.
I doubt it very seriously. I doubt that.
Oh, you doubt it? Well, I'm the guy that has the steakhouse. I think you have to let Mr. Bell.
I think you have to let Mr. Bell make that decision, Phil, because he's the one that has to get up in the morning and go down there and work there.
That's a good point. Let me tell you something. I get up in the morning and I go down to my restaurant, and as I said to you last night, Phil, when you're talking about Ted's in Beverly Hills, you're talking about a seven-day-a-week commitment. I don't get driven home. I get carried from the car, and I am poured through the front door. I told you this last night.
Yes, you did.
See, that's, I have to go. I have to make sure the restaurant is open. I got to make sure that everything is ordered. I got to make sure that everything is being prepared properly. I got to make sure that everything is being served properly. And then I got to sit and I got to schmooze with the customers. So every night of the week, I am drinking to excess. And I'm drunk when I finally get home. And this happens seven nights a week. So you can understand it's taking a toll on my marriage. It's taking a toll on my liver. My health is falling apart. I have a difficult time standing. I have a difficult time walking straight.
Are you talking about running a steakhouse?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Not about all the schmoozing. It's not just ordering and then running the restaurant. But you got to hang out with people.
Well, you're telling me the worst part of the job, it sounds like. You're sitting and boozing.
I'm not boozing. I'm socializing with the clientele. That's what you have to do. And yes, after a while, you're at the end of the night, you are you're blind. I mean, I'm blind five nights out of seven. And I don't just mean drunk. I mean blind to the point of I'm sick. And there isn't a night, Phil, that I don't come into my home and I'm not sick in the upstairs toilet.
Okay, so how can I make that life easier for you?
Don't put pictures of dead people on your homepage and reference my steakhouse as a place that's similar to that Spark Steakhouse where a guy got, you know, a guy got shot like a mafia thing. Yeah, the mafia deal.
All right, I won't do it anymore.
That's all you had to say.
Well, I understand that, but I wanted to make my point. And I got to tell you something, Ted, if I can be honest. I would love to come down to your steakhouse some night and help take the load off a little bit by sharing cocktail hour.
What is that, a smart-ass comment? No. Don't get nervous. I'll handle it. What is that supposed to mean?
I'm just, like I said, I mean, if you're sitting and schmoozing, maybe you'd like to have Phil Henry, the radio personality.
No, I got it. Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe I could
catch some drinks. That's what he's talking about. Phil, nobody is here. Nobody wants to put you on the cuff or give you free drinks.
I'm not talking about free drinks. I'd be happy to pay my own way.
Well, in that case, I don't see any problem with that. What are you going to do that? You get off at 1.
Well, the place doesn't close till 2, right?
Yeah, we keep the bar open till 2.
All right. Well, maybe I'll do that some night. Just to sit down and have a cocktail with you and explain to you how my show works, you know.
Well, it'd be nice to have you sit down and talk and meet some of the people, yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ted.
Is that it?
Yeah, you're the guy that called me.
I know, but now I'm exhausted. I don't even want to go back to work.
Well, you called me, so thank you very much.
Well, what a...
Okay, Ted, I mean, David?
Yeah, I'm David. I'm not Ted.
You got anything else?
Well, only to say that you got to watch that. And the other thing, Phil, is this argument you had with me at the beginning where you say that I didn't, you know, you didn't give me permission to call in, and now you realize that you did.
I gave you permission to call in.
You also said that I'm calling too much, and that hurt. That hurt a lot. And I got to tell you,
Well, I'm sorry that it hurt, but it happens. You call too much.
Well, you know, let me just tell you how it all started.
All right, so that's the end of that.
Man, you hung up on him again.
I know that I hung up on him. I don't have time, Bud. I don't have any more time to talk to him or to Ted Bell about that stuff. All right, and I apologize. Anyway, 877-876-PHIL. I mean, to the extent that that his business was affected, I apologize for that picture on the homepage. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show here, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Next hour, we're going to dig into the headline story of the day, and one that we have dealt with on the world-famous Phil Henry Show from time to time, the Jerry Sandusky story, which is, it's nothing if it isn't just perverse as hell. And a couple of other stories having to do with the campaign. it's true, I think, what Obama seemed to intimate today, that the American people are not all that interested in this election. It just doesn't seem like they are. And I know it seems like it's a really important, and it is an important, all elections are important, but I know it appears to some people as a cataclysmic event, you know, as, you know, the future of the country hinges, and not just the future, but the next 4 years hinge on the decision that we make. And generally, things are never that bad. But what's interesting is, after all of the talk about what a crap job Obama has done, or what a disaster the whole thing has been, or just how tough times are, we're not paying all that much attention to this election. So we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. Reminder that you can get a backstage pass at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. And also, our episode 7 of the free Phil Henry podcast is available for download. All you have to do is go to our homepage and click on the podcast link there. We've got 6 episodes of the Phil Henry podcast available there. And now the 7th is up and running, and we'll have episode 8 on Thursday. We'll be right back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Never a dull moment, man. 877-876-PHIL is our number as we move on here tonight. So that was very unexpected, that first hour, worrying about whether or not, the picture I had on my homepage. Ted Bell, sometimes advertisers are not worth it, man. I realize we're in a recession. I'm thankful for every dollar, but come on. Coming up this hour, we're going to discuss in not a whole lot of detail, but we're going to talk about day 2 in the Jerry Sandusky trial with Bobby Dooley, who is the president of the parent teacher organization, I should say, at Western Estates in Western Estates, California. So we'll talk with her and her husband, Steve, about that in just a moment. And, of course, your phone calls welcome at 877-876-7445. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. is the online home, the world headquarters of the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Therein, an archive of audio material, radio shows, video material that goes back over a decade. We have television appearances. We have press conferences. We have animated features, webisodes that were animated by Steve White. We have thousands and thousands of hours of archived radio shows that go back over 10 years. And, of course, we have the daily video cast as well. And we have our 5-day video archive. We also have a year's worth of our Saturday night shows that are archived not only for the audio, but the video as well. And we do have plans to start to make all of our video casts available online. We are also going to be accessible to you if you're an Apple user, iPhone, iPad. That will be happening within a month or so. So the world-famous Phil Henry Show continuing to chug along here and offer you the very finest in audio spoken word entertainment. So all you do is get a backstage pass to philhenryshow.com by logging onto our website, go over there to the VIP area, and boom, hit it. And
you won't get to the VIP yet, though.
Yeah. It's called VIP, not BIP, okay?
Yeah, you won't get there yet.
No, you won't get to the VIP yet. You have to sign up, and then you get to the VIP, which also includes our rather active comment section, which I weigh in on when I can get over there. And that's a lot of fun, and I see there's all kinds of comments there because the video cast was down briefly. So, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. Don't forget our podcast, which is happening as well. We've got 2 a week, and we have 6 episodes up there. Actually, 7, episode 8 coming up on Thursday. Joining us tonight from the Western Estates Promenade is Bobby and Steve Dooley, and I understand that you are in a gaming area there, Bobby. For what reason?
Phil, thank you very much. It's good to be with you, and my husband Steve is here, and We have come here to talk not only with young people, but we're here to talk with a lot of the adults as well, and get a, you know, sort of a thumbnail sketch, if you will, of how people are feeling towards teachers and towards educators as a result of this Jerry Sandusky trial.
And it is in day two. And there was the testimony today, Bobby, of this Coach McQuarrie, who is a friend of Jerry Sandusky's, was a friend of Joe Paterno. And it was his testimony to the grand jury that really had a lot of people talking. He said that he walked in, he saw what was going on, and then he went home and told his father and eventually did talk to Coach Paterno. But of course, the comments from people, myself included, why didn't you stop it?
I think that that is, I think it's a fair thing that people are going to ask that question. But as an educator, Phil, I really would like to remind people of a couple of things. First of all, when we are looking at the situation we have in higher education, as well as in our high schools, and elementary schools, when it comes to personnel, teachers, the number of people that we can put into classrooms, Penn State is a public university. When Mr. McQuarrie walked into that locker room and saw what he saw, he was confronted with a couple of things, not just the fact that he was looking at something that may or may not have been inappropriate. He wasn't sure. I think he testified to that. But also, I think the confusion that runs through your mind when you weigh, well, what am I going to be doing here when I turn this man in? I know, obviously, I'm going to be turning in someone who could very well be committing a crime. I also know that I could be turning in someone who's innocent. This is someone who is a friend of mine. This is someone who's been a member of this you know, for the faculty at this university for a long time. All of these things you must take into consideration before you then move to the second phase of your action, which would be to then intercede or make a noise. As he said, he made a noise, or I believe he slammed a locker door.
Yeah, he said he slammed the locker as if to say, I'm here, or break it up, or something like that.
Right, and so that was something that you have to take into consideration. But I think the third aspect to this, Phil, and there are three very specific areas. As I mentioned, there's number one, what is the manpower situation in terms of teachers in our country? Number two, is he guilty? Is he not? Is what's going on here, is it what it is? Am I seeing it the right way, or is I seeing it the right way?
Or I seeing it?
Are I seeing it the right way? And then the third aspect to it is just what is the right thing to do in terms of normal decorum? Do you jump right into the middle of that and say, you know, oh, you're having sex with a boy, stop it? I don't think any of us are built that way. I don't think any of us are built for that kind of confrontation. I think most of us, however, are built for what Mr. McQuarrie did. And I think I would have been a little bit more forceful, Steve. You were talking about it.
Yeah, we got to slam the door, Mr. McQuarrie. Slam the door.
Could you speak up a little bit, Mr. Dooley?
Yeah, slam the door. Or just say, you know, get off it.
Well, I said what you would do in a situation like that is, very simply, you don't have to slam doors. You don't have to say, oh, stop having sex with that child. You simply say in a verbal voice that can be heard, excuse me, this is something that we all know. This is a normal way of interfering, if you want to say that, or of stopping some action that you may think is unusual. I think when your parents were here, Steve, and I was telling Steve so, when his parents were here during Christmas time, And they were watching television. It wasn't his parents. It was his brother and his sister were watching television. And it was now 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and we had to get the boys dressed, and we were going to go out to dinner. And I walked in on your brother, Tad, and I said, excuse me.
Yeah, just then, voice to voice.
Well, I think there are people, though, Ms. Dooley, that might say, if we're dealing with the, excuse me, if we're dealing with an assault on a child, then saying, excuse me, is not really enough, you know?
Well, no, but none of us are built, Phil, and the temperament of the modern American is not a 19th century temperament, when people were used to a more direct confrontation because there was more of a threat to life and limb in those days, whether it was from disease or from the attack of in some instances, Indians, or in some instances, train robbers or bank robbers. So we were more confrontational in those days. But nowadays, we are not confrontational, and so we are not built to jump into the middle of that with both feet and say, stop what you're doing.
Even if it involves a child?
If it's not your child, excuse me, if it's not your child, then, you know...
I have to tell you, I don't know myself in a situation. I've never encountered a situation like that.
Well, have you ever had a guy, you know, doing it to someone?
I'm sorry?
Have you ever seen a guy do it?
I didn't understand his question.
Have you ever walked in on a situation where two people were going at it?
We're not talking about that.
I'm sorry?
We're not talking about that. We're talking about someone assaulting a child.
No, I understand that, Phil, but what I'm saying is, have you ever walked in on someone? Let's just start there.
Have I ever walked in on two people? Yes, I have. You know?
Really?
When was that?
When I had roommates. When I was a young man and I was in my 20s, I was rooming with three or four guys. And I remember walking into rooms and one of my roommates having sex with his girlfriend. It's happened. Okay, but I'm not talking about that.
I don't understand. What do you mean you walked in on them?
Ms. Dooley, I'm talking about if I walked into one instance, I walked in, I needed cigarettes out of a jacket.
Oh, yeah, right.
Is that really what it was?
You know what, Mr. and Mrs. Dooley, if you want to turn this into some kind of a game, we can move on.
I apologize, Phil.
I don't know why, but I walked into many instances when I had roommates and we were in our 20s and we had girlfriends going in and out of the place. Yeah, I saw guys and women having sex with each other. Is that what you're talking about?
Was it graphic? Did you see it?
Ms. Dooley, I'm not answering any more of these questions.
I understand that, Phil. The reason why I'm asking, though, it's very important. If you don't know what's happening, then how can you jump in like you're some sort of a hero? You know, as Steve likes to do that.
Yeah, some kind of hero.
Have you seen the war films and you've seen these movies where they say, oh, are you a hero? That's what we call these fake heroes. A real hero is a hero. Okay? But one of these people that thinks they're a hero, that's not what I'm talking about.
Ms. Dooley, I understand that. What could possibly have not been understood by Mr. McQuarrie when he walked in on Coach Sandusky assaulting this kid?
Yeah, Mr. Ray, we don't know if he assaulted. Maybe he's just slapping the kid, you know.
He heard slap, 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 correct?
Yes.
Well, it might have been that the coach was slapping the boy in some way. Good job. It might have been that he was just slapping him on the fanny. You know, you slap a kid on the fanny. And
I don't know of anybody that slaps a kid on the fanny in the shower.
Well, I didn't call that sex.
I'm going to call that inappropriate. I'm going to call that approaching sexual assault. Yes. That's what I'm going to call it. 877-876, Phil, back in a moment here with Bobby and Steve Dooley, who are at the Western Estates Promenade at one of the gaming centers there, getting opinions from kids and adults on the Jerry Sandusky thing. And Ms. Dooley talking about three phases of interceding in a situation like that. One, how many good quality teachers do we have? What are you going to be doing if you get him arrested? Two, is what's happening what I think is happening? And then three, we basically, modern people, aren't built for jumping in and interceding in that manner, loudly saying, excuse me, is probably the best thing we can do. I don't agree with that, but we'll get back. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, talking about the Sandusky trial.
Truth is our bitch.
Excuse me.
The Phil Henry Show.
Do that wrong.
No, Phil, excuse me. That's...
world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley at the Western Estates Promenade Arcade there as they talk with parents and kids at the arcade about the Jerry Sandusky trial. How old are the kids that you're talking to?
They're a variety of, I would say, Phil, as old as 15 and as young as maybe 10, Steve? 9 or 10.
Okay. What are you asking the kids?
Well, I'm asking them, did you hear about the Sandusky trial? And if they're familiar with it, I will say to them, now, what would you expect an adult to do in that situation? And then I gave them the options that we spelled out in our three-point plan, which, by the way, Phil, we did email that to our homeowners and to our parents in our PTO.
So you're asking the kids the three-point plan?
No, I said, would you want us to intercede directly, or would you want us to say, excuse me, or something like that?
What is the answer?
Well, there's a variety of answers. A lot of the kids were confused.
Well, they're playing a video game. They don't want to be bothered by it.
A lot of kids don't want to be, it's interesting, kids don't want to be bothered by adults when they're playing, and you can hear the number of games that are going right now. When you ask them a question, they'll ignore you because they want to play their game. So you have to sort of guess in a lot of ways and read the body language. I'd say most of them agreed with us.
But that's just you reading body language, you know.
But you understand, Mr.
They agree with us. I would say, well, do you want me to go, excuse me, like that? And they give you the curled lip routine.
Yeah, curled lip.
What is that?
The curled lip routine, where they go, huh? You know, I'm sure you've seen the face of a child will go, what? And the lip curls.
Well, yeah, and I interpret the curled lip to mean you're weird.
Or why are you even asking me? Of course, you know, I agree.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley talking with them about the Jerry Sandusky trial. One of the things you said that I found, I wasn't quite sure how to react to it. The whole idea of, excuse me, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that was Mr. Andrew, do you come in, you aren't sure what is going on, you know?
Yeah, well, let me say it, Steve. What that's about, Phil, is the modern mentality of humans is not necessarily to physically intercede. Look, we live in the day and age of the Internet. So everyone is pretty anonymous on the Internet. And when you're anonymous on the Internet, obviously you're not directly confronting people. So people are used to that kind of anonymity when they confront people. They are not used to physical confrontations. So what do you do when you're dealing with an Internet generation? You give them options. And the option to use in that case is to say, excuse me, excuse. And I'm using that tone of voice, the excuse me tone of voice.
Well, you're using it in a very loud and in a very aggressive way, but you're not being seen by anybody.
No, you're not seen by anyone because that allows you to have the anonymity that you have on the Internet. When you say, excuse me, like that, or at some level,
excuse me, like that.
All right, Bobby and Steve Dooley here, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking with them about this Jerry Sandusky case, and as disturbing a case as there's ever been. I can't think of anything that has been rougher than this one to talk about and certainly to consider. Let's go to Lloyd on the Phil Henry Show. Lloyd, go ahead.
Yes, I want to talk, Mr. Henry, I want to talk to these people that are at the video arcade.
Yes, sir.
Yes. That you are two people that are saying that you would say, excuse me. Is that correct?
Well, yes, sir, that is.
I'm sorry?
Yes, sir, that is correct.
When you see a man who is physically assaulting a young person, you'd say, excuse me.
Sir, I'm not saying that I wouldn't care.
I want to be clear, and the host can back me up on this. Did you not say that you would say, excuse me, as if you were inviting people in for dinner?
Well, no, I don't think we said that at all.
Well, they said it kind of an aggressive way.
An aggressive, I heard you say that you'd say, excuse me. Yes, I did hear you say, excuse me, like that. And am I right in assuming that that is the most aggressive manner that you would take with someone that was entering? Well, I...
Someone that's sexually assaulting a kid.
Well, Mr. Henry, you can put it that way if you want to, but to me, it is much, much worse. It is... I, as far as I'm concerned, it's murder.
Well, sir, you can't think that way.
You want to bet I can't? I'll think any way I want to about it. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm witnessing a murder. And if I saw that happen in any locker room that's near my home, and I live in a 2,500-square-foot post-war home, we live in Alhambra, and I've got a good quarter acre here. And on our street, and we were zoned originally in the Alhambra area. We were zoned originally for horses and for some animals because people in the 20s in California kept animals.
Okay.
And if there was a locker room, and I'm not saying there would be.
Why would there be a locker room?
Allow me to finish, please. If I'm saying the odds are cut down that there'd be a locker room near me because of the fact that this was zoned for horses.
Okay, we got to take a break, sir. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, what is it? I want to make my point.
All right, hold on then. 877-876-PHIL. The assault of the series of sexual assaults that Jerry Sandusky is accused of. Day two of the trial, Mike McQuarrie, the assistant coach, was on the stand. He said that he slammed the locker really loud. He was confused. He was, apparently his testimony was very forthright and honest. But did he behave properly? We're talking with Bobby Dooley about what she would do, which does not include physical confrontation because she said in the internet age, none of us are built that way. We'll be back. 877-876-PHIL.
And I would say...
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Bobby Dooley with us. We also have our husband Steve on the line. We have a caller, Lloyd, with us, and we're talking about the day two of the Jerry Sandusky trial. And Ms. Dooley is at the Western Estates Promenade where there is a gaming room or some kind of an arcade where she has been talking with kids and adults there about the Sandusky trial. Lloyd, we're going to get back to you. All right, I want to give our number out, 877-876-PHIL. Okay. So, I know. You mentioned sending an email out to the homeowners and to members of the PTO, Bobby.
That is correct.
Okay, I want to ask you about that in a moment, but I want to just get back to my caller. Sir, you were about to launch into your point. You'd been asking some questions.
Yes, I was going to, I was going to launch into my point, and but I wanted to be clear when I was asking the lady if she said that, excuse me. And is that what you said, correct?
Yes, sir. I said that is the way.
All right. I just want to...
My wife says that that's the way in a civilized...
Because everyone is anonymous on the Internet, most people, 90% of people, don't want to confront anyone.
Even if it's a child that is being assaulted by a man. And I looked at this Sandusky... And he is about as ugly a bastard as I have ever in my life ever seen. Ever!
That's got nothing to do with it, though. You know?
Yeah, well, it's going to be better if the guy's good looking and stuff.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
I'm not talking about anything. I'm saying that I imagine having a guy like that, if you're a kid, I'm not saying. What are you talking about?
I can tell it.
Are you saying that I think that if he was good looking, you are sick? You're sick.
No, nobody's saying that, Lloyd, but I think you needed to be clearer, okay?
Well, let me be clear. And this was why I called, and then I'll let you people, I'll leave you people to yourselves. Because I am, I don't come from this generation. I come from a generation
where these things were covered up.
When we, what did you say?
Where these things were covered up.
Where these things were covered up, huh? Well, let me tell you something.
Okay, we're getting way off the point here.
Oh, well, she made a point. I don't cover anything up, lady. I don't know what you do. I don't cover up anything.
What about when you get out of the shower?
What about the what?
What about when you get out of the shower?
What about when I... You're a real smartass, aren't you?
And okay, can you stop and let's just get the point out that you wanted to say?
You know, yes, I will, Mr. Henry, but these are a couple of smartasses. That's what they are. I don't think they care at all about children.
Sir, I am a mother.
I don't care. I don't think you care at all about children. And you know something? I am so angry.
I sound like you had hypertension.
Wait, what?
You sound like you had hypertension.
Sir, I don't want you to get a stroke here.
I'm not going to have a stroke. Don't worry about it. It takes a hell of a lot more than these two to give me a stroke. I will tell you this. And if Jerry Sandusky is listening...
I don't think so. He's in Pennsylvania.
Well, Mr. Henry's show goes to Pennsylvania because we were back there one year visiting my brother's son, my nephew, and we had taken our Winnebago. And we were on... And he was on a radio station there.
Okay, that's fine. That's great. What's your comment?
And my comment is, so it shows you what you know.
Great. What station?
It was the, well, I'll tell you which one. It was.
Will you forget about what station it was that you heard me on and just say what you want to say?
Boy, these two people, Phil, you know, you have my sympathies. You really do.
Well, he has my sympathy.
Why don't you just let me say what I'm going to say? Because, you know, Phil, I don't think these people would be bothered at all if I had a heart attack.
Just calm down and see what you want to say.
I want to say the following thing. Hold on for a minute. Give me some water, dear. I want to say this. If I walked in on Jerry Sandusky doing what he is alleged to have been doing, I would say this to him. I'd say, excuse me, but would you like to see what happens if you can do that with no head?
I don't understand.
Say that again.
She didn't understand.
Well, see, you kind of missed. I hear what you're saying. You would take the guy's head off.
You better believe it. I'd take his head clean off at the shoulders. That's what I would do.
What was the thing you said you were going to say?
The thing I said what?
You better going to say something.
I'd say, excuse me, I'd use your phrase, excuse me, sounding like a mule going, have you ever heard a mule?
And okay, will you get to the point here so we can finish?
I'll get to the point. I'd say to them, or to him, I'd say to him, God, I forgot what I was going to say.
I knew it, Phil. I knew if I kept this old man off guard.
What's the old man?
All right, look, I got to go, Lloyd. I'm sorry that,
No, I would say to him, do you want to see if you can keep sexually assaulting that kid when there ain't no head?
I still don't understand.
No, I don't either.
I understand what he's saying. He's saying he'd rip the guy's head off.
That's what I'd say, but there's a way I want to say it. I'd say to him...
I think you made your point, sir.
No, hold on, Mr. Henry, please. I don't hear a lot of elderly people in your program because I'm sure you screened them out. So would you please do me the courtesy of letting me say what I want to say?
He is right, Mr. Henry. I think there's a lot of prejudice against the elderly on talk radio.
Fine.
I'd say to him, excuse me, excuse, just as you said. Are you following?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then I'd say, do you want to see if you can keep on sexually assaulting that boy when there's no head on when you're there's no head to have to have?
You know what? You're making it worse.
God,
I don't understand what he's saying at all.
God, you blew it.
I didn't blow anything.
If you're trying to say it so it comes out flowingly and beautiful, you butchered it, but I know what you're saying, Lloyd. There's not a problem. You are saying essentially, buddy, if you don't get off that kid right now, I'm going to take your head off.
Well, not right now.
Okay, goodbye. God!
Say, Phil, that's why you keep the elderly off your program.
Don't tell me about the elderly, please, Ms. Dooley, with all due respect. 877-876-PHIL. I think what the man is saying, and he is a Korean War veteran, and you're right, he is not a part of this generation. He's a man from, he came into his 20s in the 50s. A whole generation of people had just very much violently interceded in something called World War II. He would have no problem with it.
I think that guy like that, I don't mean to say that. I know the war veterans did good things, but that guy kind of...
Yeah, I think Steve is saying, and I think we're a lot of it, that man's unusual. He's a war veteran. I think a lot of those people, the Vietnam ones, too, and the Iraq ones, too, I think a lot of them are, and I don't mean anything by this, I think I mean actually to be complimentary, but they're sort of freaks. They're what did they say, Steve, about your friend's brother?
Yeah, psycho.
They're psycho. They're psycho. A friend of my husband's, his brother came back, his younger brother, and they say that they're psycho. Have you ever heard that?
I've heard that, yeah. So what?
Well, I'm just saying, I don't think that they're normal. I mean, I don't mean that...
They're not normal, huh? So they would go in and they'd say, either you take your hands off that child or I'm going to kill you, or something like that's not normal.
No, I'm not saying that you don't intercede to save a child. I'm saying that there are three steps. The three migratory steps is all I'm talking about.
877-876-PHIL. I don't understand about the three migratory steps. Dave, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. We're talking to Bobby and Steve Dooley here about this this horrific event, series of events, these tragic assaults that are alleged to have taken place on the campus of Penn State by Jerry Sandusky, day two of that trial. Dave, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, hey, I'm just wondering, I wanted to ask this lady if she's ever, I don't know if you've ever been involved in any security situation or if you've ever been in any situation where you have had to protect a life.
Well, yes, I'm a mother, so I...
You got to speak up, Bobby.
Yeah, I can't hear.
I said, yes, I'm a mother, and I believe that I've spent much of my life trying to defend my children.
Right, but have you ever had to, I work security right now. I'm going to study to be LAPD, okay? And right now I go to school, and I also work security at the Beltham Mall.
Is it Beltham Mall?
Yeah, that's right.
That order.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I see a lot of things that are... situations that you've got to jump yourself, into. Yesterday I had to chase a kid down. It's not a life and death situation, but it is a situation where you have to think fast, and you have to directly do it, you know. And maybe it's because I work security, but yesterday I had to chase a kid down. Got him all the way out to the lot because he pulled a lady's pants down. And I don't know what you think about that. And maybe he thought it was funny.
He did what?
I had to chase this kid down.
I heard you say that. What did the boy do?
What did the kid do?
This kid came up behind a lady who was wearing a pair of running shorts. She was not dressed, you know. It was a very hot day, and she had on some running shorts. And the kid came up and just yanked him all the way down, basically pulled down her pants, you know. So she was like, and you could see her butt and everything. So the kid took off, and I took off after him.
This kid just was brazen like that, huh?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Did you catch him?
I did catch him, yes, I did, and I confiscated, the ice cream cone that's got the nuts on top of it?
I don't know.
Drumstick.
Yeah, that's right, he had a drumstick, the one with nuts on top. I confiscated that, I confiscated a moon pie, or Eskimo pie, that's what it was, I confiscated Eskimo pie. I confiscated an underwater camera that I did have them develop to see if he did indeed get any pictures of this woman, of her butt or any part. There was nothing there. I confiscated a comb, and I think I confiscated, as a pick.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, what do you mean you confiscate? So the point here...
Well, I mean, I had to confiscate to make sure that he was not
He's not having no weapon on him or anything like that.
But did he take any pictures of the woman's butt?
They're developing the camera right now at Kodak Place, and they are going to issue me a report tomorrow.
Okay, but I mean, look, Dave, just what you're essentially telling us is you are a security guard at a mall.
Yes, sir.
And you had to chase down a kid who committed a kind of an assault, didn't he?
What's the assault? Because he came up and pulled a lady's pants down.
But what is that technically called?
Well, it's called... It's indecent... it's making her do an indecent... It's making her show her butt. I mean...
It's an assault. Isn't that what it is?
Yes, sir. But I mean, technically, it's called making her do it.
What?
Well, I don't understand what that means, but I applaud you for doing your job well.
It's not like technically an assault.
It doesn't matter. I applaud you for doing your job well.
And I also, hold on for a minute. Yeah, what do you want? Where are you going? Oh, they're not paying attention to me. I'm going to have to get off the phone because I got to go intercede. But I will tell you this, Mr. Henry. I confiscated the drumstick, the moon pie. And
that doesn't make any difference what you got. Thank you very much, Dave.
Also, I got a hair pick.
All right, we're going to take a break. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, the Jerry Sandusky trial, day two.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Let's put on the air.
Welcome back to the world famous Phil Henry Show. The Dooleys are at the mall over there. They're at the, you guys are, I don't know if you guys are at the mall, you're at the arcade, I know. And we had Dave Oliva at the mall, and we're talking about the Jerry Sandusky trial and day two. And you heard McQuarrie say that he slammed the locker. You both have said that wasn't enough, but a physical intercession would be too much.
I don't know that it would be too much. I'm saying it's a lot to ask of the modern generation, which is an internet generation. It's a generation of people that they're not comfortable, actually, in interceding that way.
Not doing a confrontation like that.
So in other words, because people are on their computers, that they don't want to get up into somebody's face when need be?
I don't think so. And Phil, this is based upon my years... working on a computer. I have been a homeowners association president, and I send out emails, and I do send out threats. It's tough to do. I don't like doing it, but sometimes you have to threaten people. You do it on the email because you can do it. They're not going to come find you and perhaps physically assault you, but you're not going to go up to somebody and say, you know, I think you dress like a whore or whatever it is. Now, the email that we sent, I said this is three stages. You, first of all, question, do we have enough teachers for this person to be arrested? Secondly, is an actual rape taking place? And thirdly, excuse me. Now, I didn't hear anyone, not one person responded to my email negatively. And that tells me that there is a lot of support for the three-pronged approach.
Yeah.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I don't know if that's exactly how I would read that. Let's go to Buddy. Buddy, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I'd just like to comment saying that if you walk in on an adult that is assaulting a child, you don't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
You just do what to break them apart and then find out what's going on. You protect that child.
Well, I think that is maybe what they would have done in the old...
You know, I don't understand you at all. I think that's what's wrong with the world today, the United States, is people are just sitting back like you are so soft and not stepping in. Let these things just go on and on and on, and this stuff just got out of hand. And you don't make no sense.
Well, I think that, first of all, in the olden days, they would have gone in and beat the man up or whatever they do. But today we have the internet generation. And
I know, but today, you know, you keep saying the older day. Maybe we should go back to the older day. These people need to realize, you know, what we're going to do, you just sit back and just let these children get violated.
I agree with Buddy.
You know, just let it go on there for a few minutes.
What did you say?
I agree with Buddy. I agree with the caller. I agree with him that we should go back to our when people were more confrontational.
Well, I don't know what you mean by that.
They're afraid to get involved. They're just turning their heads.
Exactly.
You know, there's things that are happening here, and people are getting afraid that people's not getting involved.
Well, I'd like to just say something, Mr. Henry. This is Steve Dooley. I mean, if you've seen a lot of the games that have come out on 360, Valor, the Valor of Heart of Valor and all that, everybody's into being, fighting in wars.
Those are games, sir. Those are games. Those are games that you play online. Nobody gets hurt. That's not real confrontation. That's not a real war. That's not this gentleman's talking about.
Well, I think, Phil, we live in a day and an age where, I don't know, I cussed a lady out one time, but it was in a text message.
Well, that's not doing anything in a text message. What is that?
What do you mean, what is that?
Well, that's not, if there's a little boy being attacked, and I think this is what this gentleman's saying, are you going to text that guy that's attacking that kid?
No, that'd be ridiculous. You got to go get your phone.
Oh, come on, grow up. You're not going to go get your phone and text the guy. You got to find a way to stop it from happening. The gentleman that called now, and Buddy, thanks for your call, sir. I appreciate it. I hope you got everything that you wanted to. Okay, thank you very much. And the other guy that called, Lloyd, when they said, that guy said, you know, I'd take that guy's head off, you know.
Well, that man was absolutely, he was ridiculous.
I got that.
He was talking about, let's see if you're able to carry out your anal attack with the head gone.
He didn't say he was, you know something, Ms. Dooley, I think you're missing the point entirely, you know.
No, Mr. Henry, I don't think I'm missing the point. I think you're missing the point. And
no, ma'am, I'm not missing the point.
What is the point?
The point is stop the attack, stop the assault, save that child, get that guy out of there.
What are you going to do? Are you going to call the police?
At that particular point, I'm not interested in whether I'm going to hold that guy for the police. I'm interested in stopping that assault.
Well, Mr. Henry, that's a real pretty speech, but I can hear by the bumper music what's playing now that I've run out of time, and so I wind up once again like some porn actress on your show. I'm always toweling off. And the
get rid of her. Thank you very much, Ms. Dooley and Mr. Dooley, for your ill-considered opinions. We'll be right back here. Our News and Information Hour, God, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
You know something? You know what? I got to tell you guys something. The worst thing that's ever been invented is email. That's the worst thing that has ever been invented because it's given people an excuse with email and text messaging. It gives people an excuse now to say anything that pops into their head. So any little thought that somebody has, any stupid idea that someone has, any completely irrelevant and under the radar message that someone has that they think is really important, it gives them the excuse to now blurt it to the world. We have more ways of communicating stupidity today than ever before. You know, I just opened up my email. I made the mistake of opening my email.
No, you're doing that, man, in the middle of the show. Yeah, it's going to bum you out.
Well, I hadn't opened it up, so I made a mistake. We had the news break. I opened my email, and more horse dung than I've ever seen before in my life. I am here to tell you, more stupid, idiotic, pointless crap. This, we're going to figure it out. And we're in, obviously, I shouldn't get too upset, because we're in the middle of a, as I've said so often, we're in the middle, right smack, and it's funny how we don't really notice it, you know, but we are right smack dab in the middle of a media revolution, where people are changing at the speed of light how they're receiving information as consumers, how they're receiving information as just one-on-one, people-to-people, you know, phone calls, you know, communications with family or friends or business associates, what kind of entertainment we enjoy and how we are accessing that entertainment. We are now in the middle of a revolution that is absolutely changing the time that we spend watching any one thing. They talk about internet attention span now. That's around 4 minutes. So a lot of internet webisodes are 4 or 5 minutes long. And a lot of other things like that are very, very short. Our podcast, the podcast we do now, ranges anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes to 40 minutes. You know? So there's a whole host of things that are changing before our eyes. And, you know, as a result, the technology, of course, is what has prompted all this. We have lots of technology. And that's why I said, I was in a meeting yesterday talking to both of these guys are friends of mine. One of them's my lawyer, the guy who handles our corporation, and the other guy is my accountant. Both of them are friends of mine. I'm having lunch. And I said, you guys don't understand, man. Mark Zuckerberg, one of the most brilliant young entrepreneurs to come along in the history of this country, even that guy got caught with his pants down around his ankles when they suddenly woke up one day and they said, holy, and they said, what? Well, with all this mobile usage, our Facebook website, they don't support advertising. In other words, when people pull up Facebook on a mobile device, there's no advertising. And we didn't factor that in when we presented our offer to the public, our initial public offering. So it was one of the reasons why their stock price began to slide. Now, it isn't so much that the stock price slid. It isn't so much that there was a bad decision made. It happens in business all the time. But it was stunningly bad given the brilliance of the people involved. And it was also stunningly bad given how intimately familiar with the platforms and infrastructure involved, right? So Facebook, you figure, would be well aware of a couple of things. Number one, okay, we've got advertising. That's what's going to make us the money. I mean, obviously, we've got this IPO, which is going to make us money. But what is the stockholder? What is the guy who is going to be holding a share of our company? What's he getting? He's getting the ad dollar. By and large. Yeah. And what's your point, Phil? The point is that with mobile use on going nothing but straight up, which you could see this 2 years ago, man, year and a half ago, and there's no advertising on the Facebook mobile site, I'm a stockholder and I'm saying, what the hell? How am I getting a bang for my buck? And suddenly everybody at Facebook was, oh boy. A year and a half ago, I'm sitting around on my dead ass watching a preseason football game. I don't know what I was doing. I was out in the desert, I think. I was chilling. And I'm watching TV. Well, I remember saying at the time, look at the ads on TV. What? Every single solitary ad, there's a guy standing there with a mobile device. Hey, we're mobile here, mobile there. Look at this, NHL, mobile, a year and a half ago. They were emphasizing the capabilities for media, for receiving media and viewing media or listening to media on your mobile device, on your iPhone or on your Droid. I use my iPhone now more than I use my personal computer. I use my iPad more than I use my personal computer. We're using Wi-Fi more than we're using actual, you know, fiber optic DSL or internet connection. So you got to be aware of all these things. But the other part of that and the downside to that is now because we have all this stuff, everybody's like, blah, 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 blah. Let's do an email. Let's do a text message. I'm getting so sick and tired of email, man. I'm going to put my fist through this computer. Look, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You notice you get all these emails from people, and about three quarters of them are simply them replying to a reply to a reply to a reply that you already read like 5 years ago. I'm going to be an old man. I'm already an old man. I'm going to get to be a really old man, and I'll still be reading the reply to something that I wrote back, you know, in 2011. And the rest of it is a bunch of panic crap, and it's all just, you know. So I don't know how we solve the problem.
Why read it in the show?
Yeah, solve the problem. Don't read it in a radio show.
You're right. I solved that problem. Don't read any email when you got other stuff you got to do, because more chicken crap. And I get distracted by this stuff, maybe more so than other people, but I do a lot of my business this way. But I'm getting real close to, I don't know what I'm going to do, man. I'm going to just, I'm going to tell people I'm not taking any more emails. You're going to have to either talk to me on a telephone. If it's really, really important, you can email me. If it's really, email me an attachment. But I don't give a crap about your opinion or thoughts on anything, man. You can just call me up.
Yeah, but you're all talking about using mobile device and everything.
Yeah, I'm talking about using a mobile device for, you know, important stuff. Okay, forget it. I'm done talking about it. I never should open that up. Welcome to the program here, folks. This is our News and Information Hour, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You heard us dealing a little bit there with the situation in Pennsylvania. This man, Coach McCreary, Mike McCreary, who is a former assistant coach. I don't know if he's still working there or not, to be honest with you. 37 years of age, testifying on the second day of the Sandusky trial, walked into the support staff locker room one night in 2001, said he saw Sandusky standing behind a boy who was propped against the wall. McCreary said he went to Paterno's house the next day. He talked to the coach. He did not spell it out explicitly out of respect for the coach and his own embarrassment. I don't know what the hell that means. He said Penn State Administrator Tim Curley, here's this guy Curley and Schultz, these two guys, they were fired. They just listened to what I said. And they called him up and they said they looked into it. So it ain't looking too good there for Sandusky. He's,
he's out of prison?
I would be shocked if he doesn't go to prison. Shocked. All right, we're going to come back on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show, pull our head out of our ass, and get it together here at our News and Information Hour. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We'll be right back. The Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Forward to summer, because it means with every passing summer, that means I'm one less summer away from something really big in my life. And when it happens, I'll let you know. I mean, huge. And it's been years, but soon, very soon, a momentous event will occur, and I'll share with you every last detail of it. One of the greatest things that could possibly happen to me will happen soon.
What, you lose all that weight?
Yeah.
You don't have to be on a diet.
No, it ain't that I don't have to be on a diet, although that's going pretty good, man.
How much you weigh now?
I'm not going to say how much I weigh now, but as you have commented, bud, not that I like you looking at me that way.
Not gay, just, you don't look like a tub no more.
Yeah, you're looking pretty good, man. Thank you very much. I'm just kidding around, bud.
I think I'll scope out Phil.
Okay. Yeah, man, I've lost a ton of weight, Jack. And I said to you last night on the show, I went from a 54 waist back in February to a 40 waist now. And you know what the temptation is? The temptation's to give up. Not to give up. That's not, well, I shouldn't have said that. The temptation, when you're losing weight and you go, wow, look at this, man, I'm getting into some pants that I've never gotten into before. And
what's her name?
Well, her name is Kitty. I mean, what's her name? I'm not talking about pants that I'm wearing. I'm getting into smaller pants, you know.
Yeah, what's your name?
Okay, I got the joke. I'm wearing a smaller size pair of pants and also wearing a smaller shirt. I mean, I used to be in those triple X jobs, man. Now I actually put on a double X, and that's too big. Although this one's perfect, but I guess it depends on...
Yeah, here it's like a depend on the designer, you know. I found that out the other day. I was talking to my aunt, and she said about a lot of designers have a different cut of pants, you know.
Yeah. What you got your Aunt Mavis?
Yeah, what other aunt am I living with her?
Get her on the phone, will you, bud?
Who?
Ms. Leonard, Mavis Leonard. I want to talk to her. I want to talk to her about the... Is that her now?
Yeah.
What do we got, a direct line or something? Mavis?
Yeah, how are you doing?
Good, hon. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm glad you called me up because I was listening tonight on your program. I thought that those two people you had on, that Dooley, I think she is so stupid. I'd love to slap her across her face.
I knew what my mom would say that to you.
What'd you say?
I'd love to take that... Who's that? Is that Dickman?
Yeah.
Dickman, I love to speak to you. You are an idiot, you know.
You know, but what about Dooley?
Shut up, man. Quit making fun of my aunt.
I'm making fun of her.
You can't make fun of me. I tell you, that retard, he cannot...
We don't say that word anymore, Mavis, okay?
What'd you say?
So we don't use that word anymore.
Oh, all right. Well, I won't use that word, but you know what I talk about. That dumbass you have there.
Yeah, you can say that.
All right. You don't mind me saying that? Okay, you a dumbass.
I just told you, dumbass.
I don't care.
All right, so anyway,
Phil, that Dooley, that woman is the dumbest woman I ever heard in my life. I love to slap the taste right out of her mouth.
What, because of the stuff she was saying about that situation in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, about that child molestation. And that man, they ought to take that man, and I would love to fly to Catalina, you know. Have you ever flown on a Catalina?
Have I flown on a Catalina?
Yeah.
Or to Catalina?
Yeah. Both.
Have I ever flown to Catalina on a Catalina?
Yeah. I don't stutter.
No, I haven't flown to Catalina, and I haven't flown... On it, what is that supposed to mean?
That means exactly what I said. I don't stutter. I said.
You talking about a PBY?
I'm talking about. Why don't you shut up? I'm talking to Mr. Henry, okay?
I'm sorry.
I'm talking about the Lockheed Catalina patrol plane that they use in the Navy. Have you ever flown on one of them to Catalina?
Have I ever flown on a Catalina to Catalina?
That's what I said. I'm not going to say it again.
No, ma'am, I have not.
Well, neither have I. Neither have I. But I have flown to Catalina.
And well, then why would you ask me, have I flown on a Catalina to Catalina?
I thought it would be very interesting. It's a dream of mine to someday fly on a Catalina. But I don't do that. I want to get my pilot license before too much longer, you know, because I don't know how long I'm going to live and so on, you know.
Tell Mr. Henry you want to get your pilot license.
That's what I'm telling him right now.
Okay.
I want to get my pilot license because I'd like to take Robert up on a flight to Catalina halfway over there, push him out.
You all don't kid about that.
Yeah, that would be radical.
I'm only kidding, Phil.
All right, well, but what do you mean about have I ever flown to Catalina on a Catalina? Which part of that were you interested in?
I want to have you ever flown to Catalina.
No, I have not. I've taken a boat there.
All right. I'm saying I would love to get up in the air on a beautiful summer day, I fly to Catalina, and I got Jerry
Sandusky.
Yeah, Jerry Sandusky. I would love to have Jerry Sandusky on a plane with me. I'll get halfway across the channel on my way to Catalina. I'll push his ass out. Man, he dropped like a rock.
Like a bag of cement, man.
You push him out of the plane, huh?
How'd that be my temptation? Yes, it would. I have to say that before God and Jesus. I never lie to Jesus that I would be temptation. I want to push Jerry Sandusky out of that plane over to Catalina Island.
Well, so in other words, you want to kill him.
I don't necessarily want to kill him. I just want to push him out of a plane.
Well, wouldn't that kill him?
I don't know. if I want to kill him, I'd take a gun. I'm not going to say I kill a man. That's for God to judge, not for me to judge.
Yeah, well, honey, I mean, you push a man out of an airplane, he's going to die.
That's for God to judge. That's not for me to judge. I'm not going to say what's going to happen.
I think if you pushed a man out of an airplane, he would die.
He's over water. He's not over land.
That's a good point. If he's over water, he maybe would hit the water and swim.
Wait a second. When you fall out of anything at that height onto water, you might as well be hitting cement.
All right, well, that may very well be, but that's not for me to say, because I heard of a man one time jump off the Golden Gate Bridge. Everybody said if you jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, you're going to die. This man, he jumped, he lived. And he said, oh, yeah, I hit the water and everything like that. Well,
The Golden Gate Bridge is different from an airplane flying to Catalina. You're going to be a couple of thousand feet in the air at least, and you're going to fall out of that thing. You're going to hit the ocean. And
I ain't talking about me.
All right, well, whoever you push out of the airplane.
I thought about Jerry Sandusky.
Okay, Jerry Sandusky, if you pushed him out of an air. You know, this is a terrible thing to say, and you're a Christian.
Did you not hear what I said?
Jesus got to sign off on it.
I didn't say Jesus had to sign off. Do me a favor, Robert. Will you keep your big bazoo shut? Keep it shut and keep it shut good and tight. Otherwise, I'll be tempted. I'll come over there. I'll put my fist down there. You understand what I'm saying, boy?
Yeah.
All right. I didn't say I'm going to kill a man. I leave that up to God.
Look at Mavis.
I leave that up to God.
Mavis, if you push a guy out of an airplane, he's going to hit the water and he's going to die.
All right, but I leave that up to God. I'm just saying, if I was going over to Catalina, how can you try to mess up what I'm trying to say?
I'm not messing up anything.
If I'm flying to Catalina on a nice day, and I say to Jerry Sandusky, you want to come with me? And he says, is he dumb enough to say yeah? Hell yeah, I'll kick his ass out of the plane. I'll watch him go just, woo, that'd be all right to me.
Yeah, I'd love to see that man record that.
I get an aerial shot of that, you know.
Yep, you can put a cell phone on him and then call it up, and he'll go, hello? And then you kick him out.
Say that again.
If you put a cell phone on him, and then you call him up, he'll go, hello, then you kick him out.
Yeah, and what's that do?
Then you can hear him go, hello, hey, and all the way down.
Man, that ain't a bad idea.
Now, that's the first time I ever heard you dumbass, come up with a good idea. That's beautiful. And
wait a second. I want to be clear here.
What did you just, did you hear that, Robert?
Yeah, you were like, ooh, ooh, ooh.
You went, oh, ooh, ooh, ooh. God, you sound almost like something in a primate house. You know?
I want to be clear about something. Jerry Sandusky's sitting next to you in the airplane. You call him up on the cell phone you just gave him.
That's right.
And then you kick him out of the plane.
Right. Then you gotta make sure you got a tape roll and you're hearing a, hello, this is Jerry Sandusky. Whoa, hoo, hoo, hoo. You know?
Yeah, man, that'd be radical, man. I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Now, that's the first good idea that dumbass Dickman had in so many years.
All right, well, Mavis, I had called you to ask you about something having to do with fashion. What was it, Robert?
I forget.
Yeah, I don't know nothing about that. I know about sewing.
Well, I totally forget now because we're up against our break. Anyway, I'm glad you're doing fine, dear. Good talking to you.
Well, it's good talking to you, but you woke me up, you know, and that pisses me off. So, goodbye.
Thank you. Wow.
Say why to her.
Hey, man, what are you looking at me like I'm some kind of a weird ass, okay?
You're the guy talking about getting a pair of pants.
You guys are misunderstanding me on purpose. I'm not the guy who's saying, I'd like to fly a Catalina to Catalina, and oh yeah, I'd like to push Jerry Sandusky out. He may live. After all, it is water. I mean, and you cats are looking at me like I'm nuts? We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, News and Entertainment. News and Information Hour on the News Talk and Entertainment Show.
Phil Hendry.
World famous Bill Hendry Show.
Jeez, I gotta tell you, and you know, this is just like I say, we're just kind of talking about business here. We're just talking about a little bit of business here, but I'm telling you, and this is no kidding. The other thing that's going on in the workplace today, in the American workplace, what the hell is this illegal address here?
I don't know.
What illegal address? If you run a business, especially if you run a business that you own, you're not just the manager, you own it. I don't care what anybody says. This is what I believe, and this is what I will always believe. You're not, I don't want to have anything to do with people. I don't want to have a thing to do with anybody that's talking about, let's run this business close to the bone. We're going to have to lay off. We're going to this, that. I understand you have to lay off sometimes when business is way, way down. I get it. But you got to be aggressive. You got to spend money. I don't give a damn. I believe you've got to invest. You got to put money, working capital, into your product, and you have to make it better. This stuff, this coexisting with the recession, where you're just sitting there with your thumb up your ass, waiting for things to get better, and in the meantime, you're just on a skeleton crew and all this crap. Why don't you get out of the business you're in and leave it to some real people? I don't care how long somebody's been in a business. And that's what they're doing through this recession there. Well, you know, we've had a, I can understand you got to lay people off. But then after you've done that, after you made your number, Mr. Corporation, after you made your stock, your stockholders happy, those cheap creeps, I don't care. Everybody loves to do this. They love to tell you, well, you know how many retirees depend upon our, isn't that nice? I could care less how many retirees. Tell them to invest their money in some other company. If the way they're going to be making their money is that cats are getting their asses thrown out in the street, and the brain surgeon that you hired to be the CEO, his idea of fattening up the bottom line and making everything look good is to fire people, to sell off assets, to cut everything back. That's not an individual that's looking to run a successful company. That's a mortician. You brought in a coroner. You brought some guy in. He's a grave digger. That's called running scared. You know, there's a saying in when you play poker, you know, scared money. You've heard the term. That's what scared money is. And if you're a good poker player, you always, obviously, you can see the guy with the scared money, you know. Oh, he's counting his chips, and he's, how much money have I got? And maybe I don't have enough, and maybe, you know. Well, I don't like doing that. And in your own companies, where, you know, I know I sound a little bit like who's that guy that we were laughing at the other day?
Damn it, Bruce Williams. You need a lawyer.
Yeah, that's the best impression I ever heard.
What is this, bud?
I do an impression of Bruce Williams.
You do an impression who?
You do an impression of Bruce Williams, the guy by the talk show?
Bruce Williams, yeah.
Yeah, I do an impression of him.
Go ahead.
Okay, pretend like I'm Bruce Williams.
Okay, that's what I'm doing. I'm pretending you're Bruce Williams.
You want me to be a caller?
Yeah, be a caller.
Okay. Bruce Williams, so yeah, hey Bruce. I just bought a car. Oh no, nothing about it. I bought a car and I found 6 pounds of cocaine in the trunk.
Shut up, quit making me laugh.
Okay, do the Bruce Williams.
Well, you need a lawyer.
Oh, isn't that funny?
No, that's fantastic.
That's what he always said. He goes, oh, you need a lawyer. You need a lawyer.
So what, was that a real call?
Yeah, I heard a guy call up to Bruce Williams. He goes, I bought a car one time. No, that wasn't a real call. I made that part up, you know.
Yeah, he made up the part about a cocaine, but Bruce Williams always said you need a lawyer.
Is Bruce Williams still around? Is he still on the air?
I don't know.
Well, where the hell were you hearing this guy?
Probably a tape or a podcast or something, but the guy's all, oh, Bruce Williams. So
yeah, hey Bruce. Hey Bruce.
Oh yeah, Bruce Williams.
Hey Bruce. Hey man. Hey, listen. I got a company. It's losing money hand over fist. I had to fire a whole bunch of people, and I gotta take the money, and go to Brazil because I didn't pay no taxes. What do you think I ought to do?
Oh, you need a lawyer.
That's funny. So that's the punchline, huh?
Yeah, everything you need a lawyer.
I left my ass off one day. He must have said, I need a lawyer, or I mean, you need a lawyer. What did he say?
He said, you need a lawyer.
Yeah, he said, you need a lawyer. Must have said it about a billion times.
Okay, very funny.
But what?
That's a very funny bit. That's, you know, it's not the greatest thing I ever heard you do, but Iron Swine is still better, okay?
Yeah, but if I could do it, Bruce Williams, can I do that too?
But I don't want to do Bruce Williams. The guy is not even on the air anymore, I don't think. I think he's like under the radar. I don't think he's alive. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to be disrespectful, but nobody listens to him, what's the point, you know?
Yeah, but what? We did.
All right, you did. Good for you. I don't know. But the point that I'm making here, yeah, I do. It sounds like Bruce Williams, but the point that I'm making, or who, you know, whoever, Click and, or not Click and Clack, didn't they get fired?
Yeah, Click and Clack got fired, man.
No, they didn't get fired, did they?
I think they did.
Well, who are the other financial people? Aren't there like the Motley Fool, that kind of stuff? What I'm saying is...
Yeah, but Motley Fool is all about stocks.
Okay, but anybody that talks about like business, I'm just saying I don't think that that's the way to go, man. And in just a little tiny business that I run, I'm always telling people we have to, because I know what people are doing. I know how people use the internet. I know what they're looking for. I know what they want more of. It isn't that I don't want to give it to them. It's that when you're running a business and you're running a business in down economic times, you have a lot of people that are telling you, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. You know? And everybody's going at a different speed, you know? And in my situation, I'd love to be the overall dictator of the company, but I've got a partner. So the point that I'm making here, though, is I don't care how bad economic times are. If you've got money, and we do, like our company, we got cash reserves. We have money that we can spend to improve this, that, and something else. That's my feeling. That's my philosophy. Whatever. I even have enough money in this company. I could give my guys a raise, which I'd like to do just as soon as they deserve it.
Oh, that's not fair at all.
I'm not talking about you guys. I'm talking about the guys who work for my website. In any event, that's... That's the economic reality. And to operate your business any other way, yeah, fine. You know, have a nice life, man. I don't want to have anything to do with you. I don't. God, I can't stand that. I've been my whole career, man, for 40 some years, I've been around that kind of thinking. I've looked at companies. I've watched the radio business go from being a very vibrant and very exciting business loaded with talent, and I have watched this business just get dumber and dumber and dumber as the years go by. I've watched stupid people after stupid people squeeze the life right out of this business before your very eyes. I mean, I watched as the internet came on board. I watched as people began to use home computers, and I watched as the radio industry didn't take note of any of it, didn't access or capitalize on any of it. And with each new succeeding generation of CEOs and broadcast executives, these were not people that wanted to revitalize talent and programming and excite and inform and entertain people. This was a succeeding generation evermore of people who did nothing but want to pull back and tighten up and cut and slash and sell and sell and sell and get out of the radio business and get out of the radio business and begin to bring on board people who are non-professionals, pharmaceutical guys, real estate guys, every kind of douchebag you ever met in your life. And all these people are suddenly broadcasters. And the only thing they're interested in doing, they're going to do the Michael Douglas model, the Wall Street model. Why did you have to wreck the company? Because it was wreckable. There you go. Because we could sell it. Because we could make more money wrecking it, selling it, firing people. That's how we make our dollars now. So that's what we're talking about. It isn't because I'm a liberal socialist. I'm just saying you're never going to be making a product that you're proud of, folks, and we kill our country if we don't produce anything anymore. And if you're all you're doing is looking to wreck companies to sell off assets to make the bottom line to get the stockholders happy and you're not producing anything anymore, you become like the Roman Empire. The provinces, the conquered areas, they're the ones that produce, and we become nothing but consumers. We have all this money because we sold all this stuff and we fired all these people and we bottom lined our way all the way to hell and back. And the only thing that is being produced in the outer provinces. That's what happened to Rome. Now, America's not Rome. We're a different version of Rome. We don't conquer and own countries necessarily, but we have our workers, the people that produce stuff that you and I use, are living in China and Indonesia and elsewhere, just like in the times of Rome, when the things they consumed in Rome, they brought in from Thracia and from...
Where?
Thracia.
What's that? That's Asia, only with a T-H.
Oh. Asia with a T-H. Get out. It's near Greece. That's what they used to call it anyway. Persia and all these far-flung provinces, that's where they brought the riches from, and the people of Rome simply consumed them. They didn't make anything anymore. That's what's happening to us. Now, there's a million people who will tell you, America's on the same path as Rome. I don't believe that because, first of all, we have a far more informed society than the Roman society. We're far more evolved than they are, and we are an informed people. If we just wake up and pull our head out of our ass every now and again, we are able to, you know, see our way clear. But I'm just telling you, this is something we need to see. It's a fight. If I put it in those terms to you, do you understand it? People will say, well, you know, what about the stock price? And they always use that one. I keep, you know, the old people with their retirement. When you see a bunch of Americans standing at the front door of a Walmart or whatever the hell that dump was that they pushed the windows in on and that man was killed, what was that place, bud?
I think it's a Walmart.
Okay. When you see a bunch of Americans ready to kill, which is what they did that Thanksgiving weekend, to smash in some doors and run into some dump of a store to buy what? What are they buying? Do you know what they were running in to get?
Yeah, you know, Chinese stuff.
A bunch of cheap Chinese crap. Discounted videos. Crap that they didn't make in America. Just crap, man. I'm telling you, crap. None of it made here. Cut rate crap. And they couldn't get enough of it. What the hell is up with that? Busting down doors and windows to get in and go ape and buy nothing but some freaking discounted DVD, you know, with Conan the Barbarian, some garbage can discounted game, you know, just nothing of substance, nothing of quality. It's just the lowest point you can get as a consumer society. It doesn't get any lower than that. Something you must have to get up in the morning and look in the mirror and go, what the hell have I become? People tell you, you know, well, look at all the money he made. All right. What did he make it do? Look at, I could show you cats that make money. I'll show you guys that are criminals. You know, guys went to prison just before Lucky Luciano got his ass deported. How much was he worth? You can find any number of people that are wealthy and are successful, but I tell you, the guy's a criminal. Are you going to still admire him? Well, we're not talking about being a criminal. What we are talking about, though, is how do you make your money? Aren't we talking about that? Yeah, but one guy made it illegally, Phil, and the other guy. No. Forget about that for a moment. I'm talking about how do you make your money? What are you creating? You take the mafia. We were talking about the mafia earlier. What do they create other than really cool opportunities for HBO miniseries and movies?
Hey, I like that Sopranos.
Yeah, well, I'll give you that. Well, they don't create anything. They just meet the bottom line, so to speak. It's just they generate capital. They generate money. In the process, they don't employ anybody. They don't create anything. They don't enrich any community. They don't enrich anybody other than their own asses. I mean, they are, in many ways, the mafia, La Cosa Nostra, is American business because all they're trying to do is make themselves and their families rich. Well, what is the average corporation today doing but trying to make their stockholders rich? And they get away with it when they say the following thing. Yes, but a lot of retired people have their money tied up. Yeah, man. I got a retirement account. I don't care about my retirement account. I got it because it was set up when I was married. I could give a crap. I care about generating income now. And I want to do it, and I want to have a successful company, and I want to do that by investing money, and I want to do that by hiring, bringing on more people, and I want to do that by giving my people a raise, and I want to do that by giving my customers what they want, man. And that means I got to go out, and I got to kick some ass and get it done, okay? And I'm not interested in this chicken crap way that people do business now. We got to get our head out of our ass, and let's, you know, get back in the game, man.
Yeah!
All right.
All right. What you laughed about?
That's the funniest yeah I ever heard in my life. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
We got to get RC on. Call RC up. We need an input from him.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to World Famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhendryshow.com. So, that's the end of that. Anything else? What else you guys want to do? Man, we got like, we've got a whole 10 minutes here, man. I'm all out of show, you know.
Y'all started out, man. Y'all talking about David Hall.
I wasn't talking about David Hall.
I was talking about Ted Bell.
Ted Bell, who was upset that I had that picture of that guy getting shot in front of Spark Steakhouse. How did I know? Ted used to have a sense of humor about that stuff. I'm not talking about his steakhouse. That was Spark's Steakhouse.
What was it anyway?
What was what?
What was that guy?
That was the guy from the Gambino crime family. His name was Paul you know the Mafia, right?
Yeah.
The guy got shot in front of the Spark Steakhouse in Manhattan. Midtown Manhattan, as they say, in 1985. So when we did I put that post online talking about Ted. I said, well, you know, Spark Steakhouse, Ted has a steakhouse, ha, 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 and he didn't like it.
Well, I mean, man, that's pretty rough, man.
Oh, give me a break. He's, you know, that cat, he's not above selling that hoodie, man, after that thing went down in Florida, and all of a sudden he's got some scruples. Spark Steakhouse is Spark Steakhouse, not Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Why'd they do that?
Because he got upset with me.
No, why'd they shoot that guy?
Why'd they shoot Paul Castellano?
Yeah.
It was that's what they do in the Mafia, man. They wanted to get rid of him. You know who John Gotti is, right?
Yeah.
That's who shot Paul Castellano. He didn't shoot him, but he had some guys do it. Because he wanted to take over that particular family of the Mafia.
But what do you mean by family? I mean, they say they got five families. Yeah, they're the five families of the La Cosa Nostra.
The five families. I explained all of this stuff during the pre-show. The five families are the five mafia families, criminal organizations, basically, in New York City, and they were set up by Lucky Luciano and the so-called commission in the 1930s after they had this big war, an underworld war in New York called the Castellamare War, and that happened around 1930-31. And that was I suppose you could say, the big shakedown of the entire organized crime thing happening in New York.
Well, what did they have before that?
Well, before that, they had organized criminal gangs all over New York, and they were constantly at war with each other. And
did they have the Mafia?
Yeah, they had the Mafia, but they didn't have, I guess you could say, and it's, I don't know if this is a, it's not really a compliment, but I guess you could say that when the Mafia came to America, it took on a decidedly American style. I mean, it became businesslike. It became franchised. It became organized. They had a commission, and they still do, and they have this, and they have that, and they got territory. That's how American organized criminals work. Before that, though, they had all this crazy stuff. They had a bunch of gangs in New York.
No, about that movie, Gangs in New York. Yeah, I saw that. Didn't see no Italians in it, though.
Ah, that movie sucked. That movie has nothing to do with reality. New York had criminal gangs. And they were set up along ethnic lines. And the Five Points gangs were very important. Now, in New York, the Morello gang. This was a very big New York gang before the modern era of the Mafia commenced. They were Italians, and they were run by a guy named Morello, and I think he had a couple of brothers, and they were very violent, and they were a pretty badass bunch of guys, and they kind of ran things in certain areas of New York, you know.
Did they have those Jewish gangs, too? Yeah.
Well, yeah, they had
those black gangs?
They probably had organized black. They had black criminals, but, you know, they were way under the radar, man, because organized crime in African-American neighborhoods, you didn't want to attract the attention of the police because, well, I guess you could pay them off, black, white, or otherwise, but I don't imagine it would have been a very pleasant thing. All right, so we're ending the show on that note. Is that it, huh?
Yeah, you gotta do a whole speech about it tomorrow.
I don't think so. All right, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. Thanks so much for being with us, guys. And don't forget to get a backstage pass and become a part of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show BSP family. You'll be glad you did. All right, and don't forget philhendryshow.com for that backstage pass. And click on that link to our podcast and download The Living Hell out of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show podcast. Till then, this is Phil Hendry. Till tonight, let that be a lesson for you.
Phil Hendry.